I just got here. It's 8 in the morning. We have Ryan Serhan upstairs to have an unbelievable discussion. I wanted to share what it's like between a dentist and a real estate mogul, because I think there's a lot of similarities. We have a lot of great stories to share with you, and come join me for the ride.
Did you do his smile?
You know, that's somebody I wish I did his smile.
Yeah.
You know, growing up in Brooklyn, hip-hop basketball was the essence of being a Brooklynite. And for me, I know, pay tribute to someone that, you know, made a huge impact. I think he's a trailblazer, and I appreciate people that are trailblazers in their respective life.
Can I do one thing?
Yeah, do it for me.
Just go down.
But you're right. See?
Drive me crazy.
I think Tupac, to the office we're about to open up. Oh. So speaking of doing things outside the box.
Hilarious, that's awesome.
You want me to do dentistry in the car? It's a possibility. We did dentistry in the middle of 6th Avenue.
Oh, this is like a club.
That's the idea.
People who are from the United States have no idea how good they have it, you know?
It's perspective, and I think a lot of people haven't experienced the other, the alternative.
Yeah.
And that's what it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, so every time someone says Bensonhurst, I'm like, yeah, in the middle of nowhere.
But it's not. It's like basically the middle of Brooklyn, you know? It's in a good spot. Hold on one second. My house is calling me.
That's not good.
No, I have to let these guys in one second. Dude, I've been in like a 4-year renovation. Oh, never again. God. All I want to do is sell real estate. I never want to do anything else to it ever for the rest of my life.
You didn't want to get something that's already fully renovated the way that you envisioned?
You know what's funny? I did. And then I was like, you know what? I got to change these floors. And while we're doing it, we might as well change the baths. And while we're doing that, we might as well change the kit. And then we're going to add an elevator. And then 4 years later,
yes.
Actually, we were done with the renovation last spring. And we had like a good couple months, basically, of like a house. And then the hurricanes hit, because who knew that New York City now gets hurricanes.
Oh, yeah.
And Hurricane Henri and Hurricane Ida show up, and I'm by myself. I'm like, what's that noise? And I go downstairs, because we're in a townhouse, and I go downstairs, and like it was like a movie. It's like Poseidon. Like the water. I don't even know where it all came from.
Mm.
Like the house, the lower two floors just opened up. Everything got flooded. It was a total shit show. And that was last August, and we're still fixing it.
Recovering, right?
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's the same thing what we did in my lower level.
Yeah.
You know, first I wanted to renovate it. Then I was like, maybe we should dig down.
Yeah.
And I mean, maybe we should change the walls. It took 3 years.
Yeah, it's insane.
It's a never-ending project, especially when you're very particular and you want to have an experience unlike any other.
Yeah, just like with your teeth.
Yeah, I mean, to me, one thing that I pride myself on is the experience that we provide to our patients.
Yeah.
Because I know it's a headache to get here, so I want to make it worth it for them.
But you're from here.
Not Bensonhurst.
Oh.
No. I'm from Brooklyn, but not Bensonhurst.
So what brought you to this location? You just like drove by this corner one day and you were just like, I think
this
that's it.
This is where we're going to land. This like, you know, Columbus. This is where we're going to stay. So my parents are both dentists.
Yeah.
And they came to this country, immigrants.
Yeah.
My father's from Ukraine. My mother's from Latvia. They had a friend that was a lawyer. And he was like, you know what? There's an area called Bensonhurst. There's a lot of professionals there. Maybe you should open up a practice there.
Nice.
They had no idea what they're getting themselves into. So long story short, they're like, sure, we'll open up on 19th Avenue and 80th Street, the middle of nowhere.
Nice.
Yes.
It's pretty good though. With no traffic, you can get here pretty quick. With a lot of traffic, it becomes a problem.
Where do you live?
I live in Borough Hill, Brooklyn. Our office is in Soho.
Oh, very nice. So you're now a Brooklynite.
Yeah, kind of.
How do you feel being a Brooklynite?
Getting used to it, slowly but surely.
It's funny, growing up, Brooklyn had a different stigma.
Yeah.
You know, people from Manhattan are like, we're not going to cross the bridge. We're not going to cross the tunnel. It's like going across the Atlantic or something.
Yeah.
It's a few minutes away.
Yeah. No, it's like my morning commute into Soho is 15 minutes. So like, had I gone to the Upper East Side or Upper West Side when we were looking for more space, because my wife and I, we got married, we're about to have a baby. Like it would have been a 45 minute commute from uptown.
Yeah.
It's like that. I don't want to do that. And I have to live uptown. Like how old am I? I'm not that old. I take that back. I love uptown. It's great. Everyone should buy there.
Very political. Yeah,
everything's great. Everything's great all the time. I love Coke and Pepsi.
Very good. Ryan, so I know that acting was your first passion, first love. Tell me a little bit more about that, because you got into real estate versus acting.
Yeah. Well, it was honestly, it was the only thing that I was actually like okay at. I don't even know if I was like good or great. I could make people laugh on stage. And like when you're kind of a weird kid and you're a little overweight and you're growing up and you have like two friends and then you can get on stage and all of a sudden people are responding to something you're saying, it's like, oh, you know, it almost kind of feels like, you know, the way my little brother felt when he would, you know, he was a pitcher on the baseball team and he was the quarterback on the football team. And when he would have a great throw or he would strike somebody out, like the audience, the crowd would go wild. So like he had that feeling and then I had my feeling, and everyone, when you're a little kid, wants to be accepted. And so I was just like, okay, this is my thing. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't really great at anything else. And so when I graduated college, I just said, I'm going to try to do this acting thing. Guess I don't really understand the acting business. It's like the one thing about schools, they teach you how to do the thing but not like how to make money doing the thing. And so came to New York City because I didn't want to go to Los Angeles because I grew up outside Boston and LA was just way too far. And gave myself 2 years and promptly ran out of money after those
and
2 years.
I mean, you're right, it's usually not about time, it's money.
Yeah,
people usually give up right before they become, you know, something.
Yeah, there's like that meme crazy that I have that I show people all the time that's like all these little dots, and then it starts to spike here.
Yeah.
And right before the spike is where most people give up.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, you know, use that as like motivation to keep you going. So like when you don't have motivation and you're tired and you're exhausted or this is too hard or that client just left or whatever, like use the discipline to keep you moving. That's always been a big thing for us. But yeah, the acting thing, I did a soap opera for a little bit and then they killed me. I hand modeled. That's where I made the most money with my hands. I know you're looking now.
You were a hand model.
Yeah, I held phones and espresso capsules and everything. I was actually like, I was pretty
hands insured?
They weren't at the time because I was like 22.
Okay.
But I, you know, I don't have a whole lot of freckles. Now I'm older, but like I don't have freckles on my hands and no veins, which I always thought was like a weird thing. So I think my hands could look like a woman's hands or a man's hands. So they just look like white hands, but I have really long, big hands and long fingers. So I could like literally grip with one hand, like a full extra large BlackBerry.
Those hands are perfect to be a dentist. Have you ever considered being a
just
dentist?
Just because I could like fit my whole hand in someone's
mouth. Yeah, you can fit in different areas of the mouth.
I have not. I wasn't like hand model, orthodontics. Like I didn't do that. But then I got into real estate because it was like, get your real estate license, become a waiter, become a bartender, do temp work to make money, to make side money, or go back to school or move home. Like those were my options. It wasn't like I was like, I'll go get my MBA or I'll just go work and find it. Like those weren't on the table for me. And real estate was by far the easiest. It takes 3 days to become a real estate agent. That's why there's so many of us.
But to become the best, it's like you said, discipline. Last night I was actually finishing a small makeover until like almost 1 a.m.
Yeesh.
It's the hours that you put into it. That's what's differentiating you from everyone else.
Yeah.
And I actually think that you and I are in the same type of business. We're in a service business.
Mm-hmm.
We're here to make a difference in someone's life and to go above and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I sell smiles, you sell real estate, but at the end of the day, it's the relationships that we make. We're in the relationship business.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's the biggest thing.
Yeah, and in sales, right? You're in sales as well. Like we actually have a lot of, to be honest, like we have a big part of our business is education. And so we train salespeople all over the world. And I set that business up thinking that it was going to be just for real estate, like real estate salespeople. But it's like half real estate salespeople and then half everyone else. Like we have dentists. We have like authors.
You know, dentists that are in real estate as well?
No. That take our sales training
because
they don't know where else to learn how to sell their services.
Mm.
You know, they're great at their craft, but they're like, how do I get more clients?
Exactly. Right?
How do I open up my next office? How do I build my business? How do I want to do cavities for the rest of my life? Like they come to us with all those different types of problems. We're like, well,
I love that.
Where else do you go? And they're like, I don't know. You? So we're like, oh, I guess we have a bigger business here.
And school doesn't teach you that.
No, it doesn't.
At all.
No.
They go, you know how to drill? Barely? Go.
Yeah, exactly.
Help people.
Oh, God.
Ryan, how much do you spend on marketing a month? Because a lot of people, I think they're really cheap on that part.
Yeah.
I think they think that it's a waste of money.
Yeah. I mean, my whole life is marketing. You know, I would say I try not to spend as much. Like we don't do a whole lot of like paid social, paid ads. But everything I do is marketing. The people we hire, right? We hire extra people and we make sure they're wearing merch so that they're always kind of marketing. But it's somewhere in the hundreds of thousands of dollars a month, somewhere in that range. But we also do a lot of organic marketing, right? So you have social audiences,
sure.
And that's really who our clients are, right? For real estate, I'm not just marketing to the dad who's going to buy the place. I'm marketing to his kids, because his kids have influence over his decision.
That's right.
And so if we can create entertaining content for real estate, then the son or the daughter is going to say, well, Dad, what about this one?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big way in which we sell all the time. And now with like TikTok and everything that's going on with the wars between Instagram and TikTok and then YouTube, even LinkedIn,
yeah.
You know, like every time there's a new platform, it's just a new way to get in front of people.
And not only that, I think when most people, when they think of marketing, they think of just letting a whole division of people take care of that part of their business.
Yeah.
You are the face of your company. You are your brand.
Yeah.
Marketing is just this, you know, it's part of what you do every single day. And you're involved in that marketing every single day.
Yeah.
I think that's what most people think, that let them pay $100,000 a month and they're out of the whole marketing part of it. Like, if you want to build a brand, you got to be the face of it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm marketing right now for anyone that'll watch this.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Ryan, so
yeah.
You're interested in acting. What do you think? Do you think that's a good route to take? Do you think I should get into TV? What do you think?
Yeah, you should do a reality show about the work that you do, you know? And then I don't know who works here, but what I found is like the shows that work are the ones that are occupational dramas.
Yeah.
So it's not just the patients coming in and trying to fix a smile, because there's only so many ways to smile. You know, it's also the people that are here. Like, I don't, whatever your relationship is with that nice little old lady that let me in, that was trying to find you and all that when I came in here. I don't know. Like, your relationship together, you know, the people that work here, kind of your place on this corner. Like, that's interesting for people because it's super relatable. And then you've got all the different types of people, the athletes, the celebrities,
right.
The woman across the street coming in and you're trying to make them smile. And it's almost like a makeover show meets, you know, dentist occupational series. And I don't know of a show like that. I mean, the plastic surgeon shows do really, really, really well.
Do you work with your family at all? Have you ever worked with your family?
Family?
Yes.
No.
No one in your family?
Absolutely not.
So this office? Yeah, with my whole family.
Wow.
We're all dentists.
You should definitely do that.
You should definitely do that.
Yeah, that is a reality TV show right there. If not, like you know what I tell people all the time?
Yeah.
So like I've been doing Million Dollar Listing So we started in 2010. Season one came out in 2012. Like the height of reality TV was probably 2015,
mm-hmm.
right? For all shows, it's been downhill since then. Like the Kardashians didn't leave E like just for money. They left because they saw what was happening to cable TV and they saw that they would have a bigger impact on a streaming service like Hulu, right? And then Hulu just gave them the best deal. And now you see kind of what's happening with Netflix now going to, as of yesterday, they said this year there's going to be a free model on Netflix with ads. So full circle. Now streaming is going to go right back and basically become like, you know, like network TV. You know, with an antenna, you can have free five channels. That's what streaming is going to become.
Yeah.
You know, it's completely insane. But because TikTok has become TV.
That's right.
TikTok really, really rewards long form. So like what I tell agents all the time, they're like, well, if I only had $1 million listing, I'm like, dude, you have that.
In your fingertips.
You have it in your fingertips.
Yes.
I would create my own show. I'd make them 10 minutes long. I would do long form on YouTube, horizontal, and then I would cut 10-minute episodes that are also vertical and I would put them on TikTok. Like, that's it. And then I would build up the family audience. So I wouldn't do the shows because it doesn't work on Instagram. IGTV is just like, meh. I would
exactly.
build up the family and the relationships and really showcase that on Instagram as a driver to both YouTube and TikTok for people to follow that content. I would do that before I wasted like the next year of how long pre-development would ever take and the waiting on executives and the contracts and this, that, the other, and they're going to pay you $9 and then they're going to own. Oh,
yeah.
It's just like that world, sorry to say, is like completely changed. You can get more views in your phone now than you'll ever get.
Mm-hmm.
I remember too, in the middle of Million Dollar Listing, I was like, I want to do a new show that's more like luxury, like wealth focused around real estate. It was going to be yachts, private jets, kind of all that stuff. So almost like Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, but with all their toys. And CNBC was interested in doing it. And I've never told this story. And I remember meeting with CNBC and Bravo was like, maybe we'll let you do it. Maybe not, because they want to own you. And I met with them and then they closed the door. And the one guy turned to me and he was like, why do you want to do this? He's like, you have a awesome job.
Right.
You have another TV show. He's like, do you know how many people watch CNBC? He's like, people watch CNBC in the mornings for news. But he's like, maybe 300,000 or 400,000 people are going to watch each episode. And it's going to take you 2 years to put this show together. Is that worth it? It's like, dude, you run this place.
Right.
Why are you talking me out of this?
He's being like, honest with you, though.
Dude, and which I really, really like, I appreciate, right. You know, like it's so hard to do, but that's what I would do. Like my best advice to you, having done this now for 10 years, right. is to do that.
No, and I love it because that's how I grew. That's how I got this corner of 19th Avenue, 80th Street to become busy.
Yeah.
Patients are flying in because of social media.
Yeah.
You know, and like you mentioned, there's always a new platform. And the idea is for us to be open-minded with an open heart and try to relate to people on all these different platforms.
So why do people come to you instead of other dentists?
I think it's the experience. Besides the results, I think it's the experience that we deliver.
Like mood lighting and rap music and stuff?
Say it again?
Is there like what is the experience?
So like even when, so this is early in the morning, our day is about to start.
Yep.
So even when a patient flies in or any patient that walks into our door, we offer them a smoothie. We have a menu. Because for me, making-
A smoothie before you go into their teeth?
Yeah, sure. We order it. So most of my patients are here for hours at a time because we're doing some type of makeover. And
you're moving teeth at the same, like you're doing all that at the same time?
All that at the same time. You know, when people are here for a few hours, I mean, I know I get hangry. I can't imagine a person that's in the chair for so many hours.
So it's like, it's concierge dentistry.
It's concierge dentistry. And you know, that was my vision. And I hire based on personality and I hire based on not what you've done in the past, but like, I don't care if you know dentistry. I care if you care about people.
That's cool.
That to me is the most important thing.
Yeah.
And the experience when people come here, they want to come here.
Yeah.
Growing up, nobody wanted to go to the dentist. Tell me about your experience growing up going to the dentist.
Painful, tears, crying. I have very few, actually. I had braces for 4 years, like classic old school braces.
Sure.
You know, from fourth grade to eighth grade. Never forget it. And then after that, I had a lower retainer that then broke when I ate an apple and I never put it back in. And so my lower teeth kind of found their place again. And I've just never fixed it.
That's exactly
I've done
right.
like teeth whitening once a year. And that is the worst experience.
It's very sensitive.
Dude, when you sit there and you've got to put the stuff in and you have to sit and it's like 40 minutes and then it's another 40 minutes and you can't move. All I do is I just like count the tears that slowly roll out of my eyes because it is so, it's like real painful.
It's not a fun experience.
No, it's brutal.
So for me, like growing up to two parents who are dentists, I was like, let me change the way that we view dentistry.
Yeah.
Especially I found a niche in dentistry called cosmetic dentistry where I get to transform people's smiles. That transforms their lives. And then they could move on with their lives and do big things and better things and more exciting things.
Yeah.
What's going on with your smile? No, I'm just kidding.
I don't know. What did you notice? What do I need to do? Operate on me right now?
No, a couple of questions. Do you drink a lot of... Do you work out?
Mm-hmm.
Do you drink pre-workouts?
Yep.
A lot of pre-workouts?
Yep.
Were you an athlete growing up?
Nope.
A lot of Gatorade?
Not really. But I definitely drink pre-workout. Otherwise, I'll die.
What about lemon water?
Not really.
So what happens is over time, with all that acidity from the pre-workouts, and then you go to the gym and you clench and grind, you could kind of grind away your enamel.
Yeah.
So that's what happens to a lot of people.
Yeah.
They think the pre-workouts is a great idea to boost that energy and so forth, but then going to the gym afterwards and clenching and grinding, you could grind away your teeth.
Yeah.
And then over time, as you're grinding, like you mentioned, your lower teeth start to fall into place, but then it starts to move even more so. So a lot of people that are high performers, people that work extremely hard, that need coffee and pre-workouts and all those things, it ends up actually causing a lot of damage to their enamel.
Mm-hmm.
And then the whitenings, the reason why they hurt even more, because the enamel is so thin and the whitening actually penetrates it in a different way, causes more sensitivity.
Yeah, brutal. I don't drink coffee. I drink coffee once a week as like as like a treat to myself on Saturdays.
Why is it a treat for you?
Because I do, like, I like coffee, but I also don't want to drink it. I just feel like I got to remove as many vices as I can. So, like, I don't drink alcohol. I don't drink coffee. I won't smoke. And I'm too tired. Like, seriously, dude, I wake up at fucking 4 o'clock in the morning. Like, I can't do any of that stuff.
What time do you go to sleep?
Last night it was like 10:30.
Okay.
Yeah. So I would love to sleep in this guy's like thermogenic something or other, whatever.
Oh my God.
He's just talking about. Well, I have, so like these teeth, I've ground. What do you say?
Yeah.
These ones, like the vampire ones.
Yes.
Are definitely, for a long time, they've been like flat.
Yes.
So they're like all flat here. And that must have been like a sleep thing, I think. Because I don't like ever do that.
Actively, but right.
I'm assuming it's a sleep thing.
So those canines actually protect your front teeth from getting grinded down.
Oh.
So as soon as you grind down
yeah.
your canines, that's how your front teeth become worn down a lot quicker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I floss.
Flossing is actually more important than brushing. So the fact that you floss, I applaud you for that.
I try to floss as much as I possibly can.
Because?
I don't know. Like, I think, because I don't know. Because I've convinced myself that if I go to bed and I don't floss in the mornings. Mm. Because I floss at night, right? Mm. After you've eaten all day long.
Sure.
But I feel like if I go to bed and I don't floss, like the brushing is just sort of like going like this. But then there must be bacteria and food in the middle of my teeth. And then I feel like my mouth is, I don't know, it just makes me feel gross.
You're 100% correct. I mean, most of the cavities, most of the bad breath starts between the teeth.
Yeah.
So by you doing that, that's important.
Yeah.
What's your, I guess, evening routine? I think that's a good question.
My evening routine?
Yes.
No one ever asks me that. Everyone always asks me my morning routine. My evening routine, I guess like after I'm done with work and yeah. emails and all that stuff, I take a shower every night because I'm in like 1,000 houses, construction sites, mm-hmm. running around. I'm like sweating at noon and then freezing at 2 and all that stuff. So it's like just gross. So I always like shower and rinse off. And then I brush my teeth. I floss first, then I brush.
You floss first, then you brush.
Yeah.
That's a very debated, I get that question asked all the time.
But I feel like I want to floss first, get it all out there, and then brush for like the final versus like brushing and then flossing. Because then after I floss, then I feel like maybe I need to brush again. And I just don't have that kind of time. Like
you're like, this is a big commitment to yeah. floss and brush.
It is. And then it depends. Maybe it depends on like, then I might put on like moisturizer or not. And then as I'm walking to the bedroom, I tend to black out. And then the next thing I know, it's the morning. That's my night. That's my night routine.
I black out, and then
my wife
the
puts
morning.
On a TV show or something like that that she's watching. Yeah. I never remember any of it. I'm just so tired by that point, and then wake up. This morning sucked though because the baby woke up at 3, and would not go back to bed. And my wife's mother lives with us, so she's Greek.
The wife's mother lives with you.
Yeah, she's Greek, and so Yaya.
Yaya. Her name is Yaya.
Well, her name is Despina, but Yaya's grandmother in Greek.
Oh, okay.
So Yaya, but she is sick right now and didn't feel well. So she was upstairs and we were trying to give her like a day off, but the baby knew that like Yaya wasn't around.
No days
and,
off.
Dude, she did not like it. And she was yeah. wide awake, screaming for daddy, had to like go talk. And it's just so I've been up for quite some time. But yeah, like my family thing, I live with a group. So we did a spinoff show on Bravo called that was supposed to be called My Big Fat Greek Renovation, but it was about the renovation
that
of our house.
That makes sense now. Very good. Yeah.
But it was like, my wife's Greek and her whole family's from Athens. And so they're here a lot. Mm. And so as we're building this big house, you know, her mom lives with us. Her dad stays with us. Her older brother's in Brooklyn. Her sister stays with us. We've got a Greek little baby. She's got her aunts. She's got her uncles. Like,
sounds like a real Greek family.
Yeah, I have like 2 people in my family. She has like 1,000 people in her family.
Do you relate more as a Greek?
No. Yeah, I was born in Houston, Texas. No. I'm Greek Orthodox now because I converted to get married. And we got married in Corfu. But I do not, I don't know, eventually maybe, like in the next like 10 years or so. I think as the baby starts growing up, as she starts speaking more Greek and starts conversing and like they spend their summers, like they go to Greece in a couple of weeks for the whole summer.
Beautiful.
So like when they're there, then I'll maybe start to feel it more. Like I haven't been back to Texas in a while.
What part of Texas?
Houston.
Houston, Texas.
Yeah, so hot.
Shout out to Houston, Texas.
Yeah.
Yes. Ryan, I know how busy you are, and I greatly appreciate your time, your energy, this conversation.
Do you ever do like smiles on the go? Like, could you like get in my car? That way I don't have to like come here for a couple hours, and you just operate on me. You're able to like, not hit potholes.
I never say no.
Oh.
And I'm super open-minded, so just a matter of logistically putting it all together. It
might be dangerous, though.
Could be dangerous.
Yeah, he's an aggressive driver. Your dad's Ukrainian? He's from
my father's Ukrainian. My mother's Latvian.
Nice.
Yes.
You should say hi to Yuri.
Yuri's outside?
When Yuri sees like a fellow a fellow guy from Ukraine. It's like they've always known each other. It's nuts. We punked him once.
Why? Or how?
There's a Russian YouTuber, a kid, who we told like Yuri's backstory to.
Uh-huh.
Like, listen, you're gonna say you're from Odessa. Okay.
It's where my father's from.
Yeah. So it's Yuri, right? Yeah. So we're going to say you're from Odessa. You're going to do all this and you're going to go up to him in the car one day because he like takes his naps in the car and you're going to look at him and you're going to call him Papa and you're going to tell him and you're going to tell him that you've been looking for him for a year and you finally found him and you're going to give him the name of some girl that's your mom.
God.
And you're going to freak Yuri out that he's got this son from Ukraine that he didn't know about. And it totally worked and Yuri was so freaked out.
Really?
He's like calling his wife and I was like, no, wait. It's just a joke. It was insane.
And he believed it.
Yeah, for a solid 90 seconds, it was great.
You get his heart probably was bouncing through his chest.
Yeah.
Poor Yuri. Yeah.
No. Poor Yuri. Well, Yuri has a good life. Yuri's great.
Yuri's doing well.
But thanks for having me, man. I really appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
Cheers, Bob.
Really appreciate it.
Yuri, I found your son. He's a dentist.
Again.
Очень приятно.
Здравствуйте, сын. Как зовут?
Daniel.
Юра, очень приятно.
Nice to meet you.
Похоже.
A little, he's like, we look alike.
We look the same.
Hold on a second.
Right?
Look.
Basically the same
person. One second, I have also glasses.
There you go.
Okay.
Papa? There you go. Papa.
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 Steve.
Everywhere. You have so many sons.
Stop hanging. He hangs out with too many people.
Okay.
Change contact.
All right, see you, man.
Take care.
Don't forget to leave us a review. It really helps trigger the algorithm so we can reach more people and continue to bring an amazing new episode to you. I appreciate you guys from the bottom of my heart. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm excited for the next episode. In the meantime, Dr. Daniel out.